Let's pray. Dear loving Master, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. You have brought us together to listen to what you have for us. Speak to us, dear loving Master, in the language that we understand. Speak to us by names. Let us know that it is to us that you speak. Grant that as we leave this place, we go remembering what you told us, and above everything else, that we may be united with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You get seated. So I want to take this opportunity to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Bwana asifiwe. As you've been told by my colleague and friend, Professor Kirika, my name is Karemi. I love the Lord as my personal Savior, and thank God for the opportunity to come and worship with you, and at the invitation of the Boys and Girls Brigade through your parish minister, the Reverend Harun Gere, who is a personal friend of mine. I want to bring you greetings from my family and the church that I minister to at PCNMI in Boston. And my family was not able to join me this morning because of some other activities this morning. But I'm glad that I have been joined by one of our elders, William Mungai, who is seated at the front here. And we thank God for this moment. I want to share with you on the theme, the anatomy of faith. The anatomy of faith, which is the theme of the Brigade Week, Boys and Girls Brigade. We've read two passages that are talking more about faith. When Saul became the king of Israel, after the Israelites cried to Samuel and said that we want to have a king like the rest of the people. Previously, they were being led by God. The Israelites were led by God from Egypt during their days of captivity through the wilderness. And a time came when they settled in Canaan after being led by God in what we refer to as theocracy. They came to a time when they wanted to be like other people. And when they asked to be like other people, they cried to God through Samuel that we want to have a king. And we want to have a king so that we can be like other people. And so when they asked God to give them a king like other people, God gave them Saul, who turned to be a very bad king, who at some point would not obey God. If you read the chapter preceding, chapter 14, you will understand that at some point they went to war and they were attacked by the Philistines. And when they were attacked by the Philistines, and the Philistines were more than the Israelites, then the Israelites feared and they went into hiding. When they went into hiding, what happened is that the Philistines surrounded them. And when the Philistines surrounded them, Saul was waiting, and he was in hiding, and he was waiting for someone to come and rescue him. At that point, he remembered that Israel had a leader who had been called by God. And he was waiting and praying that someone would come and rescue them. But that did not happen. And it was at that point that Saul decided to sacrifice for God and do the work that Samuel was supposed to do. But that did not end well. But one thing I want you to notice is that as Saul was in hiding with his troops, and they hid in different places, and in most of these places were actually not in their land, but in the enemy territory. When they were hiding, we hear that Jonathan, his son, took one armor bearer at night, and he did not tell his father. And when he took the armor bearer, he decided to go to the enemy territory at night. And he tells the armor bearer, let us go there and see if they are going to welcome us. And then we will see if God is working for us. And when they went to the enemy territory, then understand what happened, that God was with them. They were able to attack when they were welcomed and killed 20 people. And then God brought a lot of troubling in the place. And in this troubling, the Philistines thought that they had been attacked. They had been invaded by the Israelites. When this happened, they started running away and fighting against one another. And eventually, the Israelites won over the Philistines. What happened is that when Saul and his men who were in hiding heard the cry coming from the Philistines' camp, Saul was surprised and he wondered what is happening. But then the cry increased and the Philistines ran away. It was at that time that Saul asked his men, would you do a roll call so that we get to understand what is happening? And when they did a roll call, and they noticed that Saul's son Jonathan and one of the armor bearers were not among his men. And that is when Saul realized that his son has defeated the Philistines by himself, not because of anything, but because he had faith in God. Born as if you were a son. Because he had faith in God. And then the boys' brigade have given us this other reading, which enumerates in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the book with an unknown author, they enumerates the heroes of faith, men who had a lot of faith in God, and in that faith in God, they were able to stand for God and to do things that changed the world. They went into the history books because of what they did, not because of who they were, but because of the God that they believed in. And so when we go through the entire chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and we understand what the writer is talking about, he's talking about these men who stood by faith for God. And he starts by telling us what faith is all about. Faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Christians, we are called by God into a region of faith. We are called by God to walk with God, to have a relationship with God, and to believe in Him, to have faith that whatever comes our way, however humongous it could be a mountain, but we should come to a life of faith. And we should walk by faith, understanding that there is a God who is working behind the scenes for our sake, so that we may become victorious. So when we read about these men of faith, we understand that these people did not win the battle because of who they were, or because of their families, or what they had. They go down in the history books because of their faith in God. The boys and girls brigade want us to understand the ingredients of a life of faith. And I want to give these 5 points. If we as Christians we will be called, and we will grow up and be remembered as people of faith in the church of God. One, that the text reminds us is that true faith involves a willingness to obey. Jonathan and the armor bearer must have done this in obedience to God. All the heroes of faith that are enumerated in this chapter are mentioned because they were willing to obey God. Whatever God says, we as Christians have to be willing to obey. And so today, as we think about a life of faith, then we as Christians have to have a heart that is willing to obey God. Obedience becomes very key to our relationship with God. So Christians today must have a heart and a willingness to obey when God tells us to do something. Then true faith Number two, true faith involves a willingness to wait. A willingness to wait. A willingness to be patient. You know, one of the things that is affecting Christianity today is that we live at a time where we are never patient with one another. We have become so impatient. We have this drive-through mentality, instant mentality, that anything you want, it is instantly. Christians are not patient with God. We want to pray now, and we want God to answer now. And if God does not answer, Christians will run from one place to another, looking for people to lay hands on them. People want miracles. But God is calling us to a life of faith, and not just a life of faith, a life whereby faith teaches us to wait. God may answer yes, God may say wait, God may say no. True faith involves a willingness to wait. And even as we wait, let us know that we are not just waiting for anybody. We are waiting for God, who moves mountains on behalf of his people. Praise the Lord. True faith involves a willingness to sacrifice. In the Bible, in the text to the Hebrews, the text of the Hebrews, we are told about Abraham, a man of faith who was willing to sacrifice, to deny himself, to take his son to the altar for the sake of the God who had called him. So true faith involves a willingness to sacrifice. Christians today, we have to cultivate a heart of sacrifice whereby we will be there for one another. For God has called us into the ministry of love. Love for one another. Love whereby we can be able to sacrifice for one another. There were them that have can give to them that do not have, so that in the Christian world we can be seen and we can exhibit a life that exhibits Christ. Christ sacrificed. Christ came into this world. Christ went to the cross, not because he was a sinner, but out of love for humankind. And so, my friends, if we are going to be called Christians, then we also have to be willing to sacrifice so that Christ can be seen in our lives. Bwana asifiwe sana. True faith involves a willingness to listen. You know, the world today, I always say, the world today has so many talkers but very few listeners. You know, today it's very difficult to share a secret or something that you are going through in your personal life with anybody. You are not sure who to share with. The moment you open up to your friend, you don't know that the next thing that they do, oh my. You know, Christians don't rumor monger, by the way. They don't. They don't talk about each other. They give prayer items. Oh my dear, let's pray for so and so. Oh my, she told me. Oh, he told me. Prayer items. And in that environment where somebody was just longing for somebody to listen to them, and somebody said there is a reason why God gave us one mouth and 2 ears, so that we can talk less and listen, but we have a shortage of listeners. In the counseling world, those of us that are involved in counseling, you know, we don't necessarily solve people's problems. We only listen to their problems. And when they pour out and they vomit whatever is disturbing them, then they heal. And so Christians are called into a world where we are willing to listen. And if we listen, then we will also be hearing God speaking. God speaks every minute. When you listen, then you hear the God of Abraham telling you, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to provide unto everything that you need. When you listen, you hear the God who is called the God our healer, who will tell you, yes, you may be sick, but I want to be glorified in your sickness. If you listen, then you hear God telling you, yes, wait, for I am the God who moves mountains, and the world you know that you are a child of God. Bwana asifiwe sana. True faith involves a willingness to listen, and not just to one another, but also to listen to what God is saying every minute. Unfortunately, for us Christians, we are very good at telling God what we want. We are always telling God, God bless me, God bless my children, God bless my marriage, God heal my mother, God, do. How often do we listen to what God is saying? And remember, God is always speaking. God is always speaking. Unfortunately, we have a shortage of listeners. Ask yourself, ask your neighbor, are you more of a listener or a talker? Oh, bye. Don't expect an answer. Don't expect an answer. But I want to challenge you to change from being more of a talker, especially when it comes to God, and become more of a listener. Become a listener. And then the other point is that true faith involves a willingness to repent. A willingness to repent. For failure to repent breaks our relationship with God. God calls us to a world, to an environment, and to a kingdom that he has created for us. A kingdom that he has gone to the cross for, so that you may be set free, and so that you may have a relationship with God, and so that you can lead a sinless life. True faith involves a willingness to repent. And my friends, when we repent, and when we become reinstated into a relationship with God, then we will be able to be called, we will be called children of God. We will be able to move mountains. We will do things and act in such a manner that the world will know that we are children of God. Regardless of what goes ahead of us, we will be able to move mountains. It does not matter the walls and the mountains. And that's why I like the brilliant song that they sung. There is no mountain that we cannot climb. But we have to repent so that God can have a relationship with us, God can be in us, and God can work in us and through us for his own glory. Bwana asifiwe sana. So do you have faith? The Boys and Girls Brigade are calling us to be people of faith. If we are going to go down through the history books of faith, if we are going to be considered the heroes of faith in this generation, then we have to be a people who obey God, a people who listen to God, a people who waits upon God, a people who sacrifices for the sake of other people of God, and also a people who are willing to repent. And when that happens, brothers and sisters, we can be able to stand up and rise up and sing together. There is no mountain that we cannot climb. So my friends, this morning, I'm pleading with you to get into a life of faith. If the world is to have a people who will be called heroes of faith, if you go down in the annals of history as the heroes of faith in this generation, then we have to be willing to obey, willing to be patient, we have to be willing to sacrifice, we have to be willing to listen, and we have to be willing to repent. If Jonathan never listened to God, he would not have attacked at night. But I am willing to bet he heard the voice of God who told him, forget Saul's 6,000 men and go out and I'll win the battle for you. Heroes of faith in this generation, are you ready to become one? May the Lord bless you.
Appreciate the minister once again. Having listened to that message.